I can't stand most blog style programs out there, like the Comp Trains, the Misfits of the space. To start off, think about why these programs are actually popular. For one, they're heavily focused on social media, which is fine, but I think they spend more time there than they do on actual programming sometimes. But two, there's a bunch of games caliber athletes who do these programs, which initially people think about that and they're like, wow, that is awesome. I can do the same program as a games athlete. Well, no, you should not be doing that. You aren't a games athlete. You shouldn't be doing the same program as a games athlete does. And even if you were an aspiring games athlete or you are an aspiring games athlete, the programming that will allow you to get to the games won't be the same programming that you will do once you are actually there. And if you are doing a blog style program, that program is not written for you. It is written to train the best athletes that that company has. Plus, these athletes usually personalize their programs anyway, and they have a coach that's tweaking different elements of that program to make it more personalized to them. And the actual program is written for an avatar. So in other words, an average. So someone who's not too tall, someone who's not too short, someone who's not too weak but not super strong, someone who has and kind of a normal limiters, they have average conditioning, they need to work on a little bit of everything. And it's like, that's where no one is. Like, no one is that avatar unless you are the perfect average, which then that program is not written for you. It's written for the best athletes that company has, and then it's personalized for those athletes, but everyone else is just kind of doing a subpar version of that workout. Anyway, in this episode, I'm not just going to rant on this the whole time. I'm going to talk about how I recommend programming for groups. Hey, it's Ben Wise, and this is The Fitness Movement. Fitness Movement is brought to you by Zor Fitness. Zor Fitness is my company and my platform to deliver incredible training-related content to people just like you. I don't just podcast. I write in-depth fitness articles. I break down common movements in the sport of fitness. I program workout plans, and I offer one-on-one coaching for competitive and recreational athletes. And the best part is most of what I have on ZorFitness.com is totally free. Check out these resources by going to ZorFitness.com. That's ZORFitness.com. Hope to see you there. And welcome back to my rant on programming for groups. So first, what is programming for groups? This could be CrossFit affiliate classes that you're doing X number of times per week. It could be if you're at like a studio gym, YMCA, just a commercial gym where you're doing like HIIT classes, boot camp, functional fitness circuits, whatever they want to call it. This could be where you're doing these things on your own, like individual programming, where it's not individual, but it's like that blog style. Again, Misfit, Comptrain, Invictus, Mayhem Athlete, those would all be examples of that. Or worse, the individual athlete programs where basically every single games athlete puts out their programming. It's like, hey, do my program. Just don't do that. Like if someone puts out their programming and this is what I do, you shouldn't be following that. So don't do that. Or it could be online training programs like the ones I sell on ZorFitness.com. Oh, and by the way, if you want to get one of my programs for free, all you have to do is go and submit a review for The Fitness Movement wherever you get your podcasts, and then just email me at ben@zorfitness.com to kind of confirm that you actually did that, and I will personally send you whichever program you want from the site for free, just by way of saying like thanks for actually, you know, submitting a review. So let's talk about the outline for this episode. For each of these topics, I'm going to first talk about the common errors that I see in that style of group programming, and then how I would fix that problem. So first, I'm going to go over programming for weightlifting, then I'll go over programming for gymnastics, and these are all for groups, programming cyclical work, programming Metcons, and then I'll wrap it all up and put some finishing touches on each of those categories. But those are the basic categories that I'm going to be going through: weightlifting, gymnastics, cyclical, and then Metcons. Let's get into it. Okay, let's talk about customizing weightlifting for groups. So imagine you walk into class and the coach is like, all right, everyone, today we're doing 8 hang power snatch doubles at 185 or 125 for males or females. Everyone was kind of like look around each other and be like, what the heck are they thinking? Like, this isn't appropriate for anyone out there. Like, why are we doing this? And yeah, I see that exact thing happen all the time for weightlifting and Metcons, gymnastics work, cyclical work. Like, it happens all the time. So I actually think weightlifting, if we're talking about common errors, weightlifting is one of the places where I actually think most people in most programs get it right most of the time for groups, simply because rather than just giving a blind prescription like doubles at 185, 125, they'll give percentage. So that's one way to customize it, percentages. They'll say hang power snatch doubles, so 8x2 at 75% of your one rep max, which is a very easy way to tailor it, and most people use. So what other things can we think about? Let's think about the things that maybe aren't addressed in a lot of these blog style workout programs, or even frankly, a lot of individual design programs that I see. For one, the warmups themselves aren't tailored to the athlete. So different types of athletes should be getting different types of warmups. Whether this person's a beginner versus advanced, like a beginner should just get more volume in terms of reps in their warmup, whereas an advanced athlete, especially one who's mobile, needs to warm up quicker so they can get to the working weights. Teen athletes versus masters athletes, same sort of idea. Mobile versus tight, high tension versus low tension athletes. Like all of these need to have a unique tailored warmup to them that's going to be more appropriate. We could say the same thing for working sets in terms of tailoring this to an individual athlete. Like not everyone should have the same variation that they're doing of the actual lift. Not everyone should be doing the exact same volume. Not everyone should be doing the same kind of strength work to assist with that. Not everyone should be doing the same kind of frequency in those lifts. So rather than just thinking about percentages, there's all these different ways that we can start to customize a workout to a person. And we can do this even within a group, and I'll explain how in just a second. So for example, if we just stick with weightlifting, and here we'll say weightlifting as in snatch and clean and jerk, we say we have one person who's super strong and they're inefficient. That athlete needs to work more on technique and variations of the full lifts, or if we're in a CrossFit setting, they can probably work on mixed modal doses where they're getting like quote accessory work in the Metcon itself. But anyway, let's just say we have a super strong and inefficient athlete, they need more technique work. If we have a weak and efficient athlete, they need much more strength work in terms of like power lifts and things like that, and only maintenance doses in the traditional lifts. Again, that'd be snatch and clean and jerk. Beginners, they're going to need a lot more reps at the full lifts, and that just helps them refine their technique. But high level athletes, they're going to have much more consistent, more efficient technique. So they're not going to be able to handle the same volume as far as that goes. Same thing with masters athletes. So if we're starting to think about this, we need to just understand, first of all, okay, there's a lot of difficulties, and just respect, okay, are we actually starting to see all the difficulties that there are for programming for groups? There's a lot of them. The solution that I think works the best is creating customization within the program, and I just call this silos. So let me use this example for weightlifting. So let's just say this workout, part one is the strength work that coach was talking about. Silo one could be like, okay, if your squat clean is above 85% of your front squat, that means that you're an efficient athlete, then you're going to get 5x3 front squats at 84% and you're going to rest 2 minutes between sets. Silo two, if your squat clean is below 85% of your front squat, this means in general that you're a less efficient athlete. And it probably means you either have poor technique or it means that you're very strong. And either one of those, we need to start working on more fuller variations of the lifts to bring up both of those categories. So for you, you're going to get 6 doubles of squat cleans at 82%. And you're just going to drop and reset between those. And you're just going to rest 75 seconds between sets. Or we could do it another way. Silo one, if your snatch one rep max is above 250 pounds for males or above 175 pounds for females, you're going to build to a 3-position snatch at RPE 8 out of 10. And then you're just going to do some snatch battery work after that. Silo number two, if you have a snatch one rep max of 200 to 250 pounds for males or 140 to 175 pounds for females, so a little bit less now, then you get a hang snatch plus snatch complex, 2 RPE 8, and then you're going to repeat it 2 more times for 3 total working sets. So you're getting a little bit more volume in here. And for these people, they need it because they're not at the top of the sport in terms of strength. So they need to be still improving their strength, so they're going to get more volume. Silo number three, if your snatch one rep max is below 200 for males or below 140 for females, you still need to go quite a long ways in terms of improving your snatch, probably technique and strength. So we're going to give you 6 clusters, so 1.1.1 at 75%, and you're going to climb to 85% across those 6 sets, with the goal of that being to not miss any of those reps. So those are just 2 different ways to do it, but each one you'll see that there's silos, and the specifics don't matter as much as understanding that for a different demographic within my population that I'm programming for, I'm going to break it up so each one gets an appropriate dose for that day. Okay, let's talk about customizing gymnastics for groups. The common errors I see, okay, I actually pulled this from 2 blog style workouts. These are 2 different examples. The first one is strength work, and it was strict chest to bar. 4 sets of 6 reps with a slow lower, and you're going to rest 2 minutes between. So you can already see some of the errors. Like it would be very hard for an entire group of people to have an appropriate workout with just a blind prescription of reps and sets and just a blind rest time. You really don't know if that's going to be appropriate for that athlete or not. And there's no way for them to customize it. It's like, oh, this is what it is. And there's no variation within that. So I think that's a poor way to do it, even though this blog is going to be programming for thousands of athletes. Another one that I pulled off online was, this was a density piece where I was EMOM 10, so every minute on the minute for 10 minutes, 6 bar muscle ups. And then they just kind of put like in parentheses, scale, 6 pull ups. So it's either bar muscle ups or pull ups. Well, number one, pull ups and muscle ups aren't the same pattern, so I don't think that's a very good scale. And if someone doesn't have muscle ups, they should probably be working on strength, not density. So that's a completely separate thing, but I'll save that for later. Yeah, they should probably be working on strength work, not density work. But three, how many people are actually ready to handle that 60 bar muscle ups in 10 minutes? So that's pretty dense work. That's a lot of volume. And like, is your population actually ready to handle that? So like, these are some of the bigger issues that we need to think about here. So how would I program this? First of all, let's go to the strength work, pairing up from the 4x6 strict chest to bar. So I pulled this piece directly from my program, which is gymnastics density for the big five. And mind you, I specifically say on the site that there's minimum qualifications for this program. So in other words, if you do not have 2 ring muscle ups and 2 bar muscle ups, if you do not have a 4 rep handstand pushup, if you don't have at least 5 feet of handstand walking, if you don't have at least 5 chest to bar, if you don't have at least 5 toes to bar, you should not be doing this program. So I already kind of silo a bunch of people out of that because most people aren't going to have those qualifications. But if you do, okay, this program's for you. But even within that, I create silos. So this is how I write it. So for part B, it will strength and skill. Every 3 minutes for 6 sets, so that's 12 minutes, you're going to do 5 strict ring dips at 4-1-x-1. So that's a tempo. You're going to be doing 5 dips each time. You're going to do a 4-second lower, 1-second pause at the bottom, explode back up, and a 1-second reset at the top. And then their goal is to weight or assist that movement to make it appropriately challenging. So what that means is regardless of someone's weak or if they're strong in that particular movement, they can either use a band to assist them through that movement where they can still hold that exact tempo and have that exact number of reps be appropriate for them, or they can use their body weight if that's a certain section of the population, or they can add weight to that movement to then make it appropriate. We might see one athlete using a little purple band. We might see another one using a really small orange band. We might see another one doing with body weight. We might see another one holding a 30-pound dumbbell between their feet. And that would be appropriate for each one of those. And it's a simple way to silo some of this. So if we compare the density work now, so that was an EMOM 10 minutes, 6 bar muscle ups was the workout. Here I'm pulling from gymnastics density for the big five. This is a different day. B, strength and skill. It was a 12-minute EMOM. And here I have between 30 and 40% of your rep max for bar muscle ups. So that's the dosage you're getting. It's a percentage based thing based on someone's rep max. It is not based on a blind number. So in this case, say your bar muscle up rep max is 22. So you're a really high level athlete. You're going to get 6 to 8 bar muscle ups per minute. Whereas if your rep max is 7, that's still pretty good for a lot of people. They're only going to be doing 2 or 3 per minute. So the amount of density that they're doing, first of all, their work rest is a little bit different. And that's appropriate for the athlete who is at a lower level because they get more rest time. Whereas in the higher level athlete is going to be working more on density, which is appropriate for them. And they're going to get way higher volume, and the other person is going to be working more on strength, and all those are appropriate. So it kind of self silos in a way to make it appropriate for these different demographics. Part of this is also I write in there literally to increase or decrease reps so that you can make it the full time. So if it doesn't feel appropriate, you need to be able to change your dosage on the fly and use feel to be able to figure out where should I be on this given piece so I can maximize my power output across the time. That's ideal. And if this program did incorporate work for beginners, then honestly, they would not be doing density work at all. So I have a different program. I have Your First Muscle Up. That's the name of the program. And that is a program for more so beginners. So if they don't have these qualifications, that's where they go. It's a completely new way to silo people. So as I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about if I have coaches or self-coached athletes out there and I want them programming gymnastics, how am I going to have them do this? Or how am I going to have them create silos so they can separate these different demographics of people so that they can best program for groups? This is a good example that I think really helps illustrate something that you could do for a very broad demographic of people. So I got 3 silos here, and each of these is going to be doing bar muscle up work. So it's a relatively high skill movement. What can we do if people don't have bar muscle ups? What can we do if they have some, but not a lot, and they shouldn't be working on battery work? What should we do if they're a higher level athlete? And this is something that we could totally do in a class type scenario that would work really well. So silo number 1, these are the people that cannot hit a bar muscle up consistently. So they might have one, they might have have gotten a bar muscle up before, but they can't hit it consistently. They can't hit it with relatively low rest. This person is limited by strength, so we're going to give them strength work. So exercise number one, we could give them a banded strict chest to bar. We say they have the 4x6 and they're going to be using an appropriately heavy band so they can get that. And they're going to do it at a tempo of 3-1-X-0. So in other words, 3 second lower, 1 second hold at the bottom, explode back up, and no pause at the top, right back down to that 3 second count. After that, they're going to go into a 6 minute EMOM where they're going to be doing on the odd minutes, 12 to 15 banded lat rows, even 5 max effort hanging lat activations. And just so you know, if you don't know what these exercises are, because often I speak my own language here, all this is outlined in the show notes. I have all these examples written out and I'll also link out to demo videos. So if you go to zorfitness.com/podcast/006, this episode number, you're going to get all of this information. So just go there, check it out. By the way, I include all these videos for all of my athletes who are doing my programming. So that way it's not just like a vague thing of like, I give them something and they don't know what to do. I link to my specific video of me explaining how to do these workouts. Anyway, silo number two, this is a person now that has a bar muscle up rep max between 2 and 5. So they can consistently hit at least 2 consecutive reps of bar muscle ups. They're going to start off doing more drills and then they'll also go into some strength work. So they'll start off with bar muscle up mount drills and they're going to be doing 3 sets of clustered doubles. And then they'll move into every 75 seconds for 6 sets. They're going to do a mount plus hips to bar, which is just another kind of straight arm pulling drill, but it's a little bit more dynamic, involves a little bit more skill. And then they'll move into banded strict chest to bar. So just like the beginners, but now we're having a higher rep scheme. So I want them doing 15 to 20 reps and picking a band that allows them to get into that rep range. Silo number three, these are the people that are at a higher level. They can do at least 5 bar muscle ups. So here they're going to be doing every 90 seconds for 7 sets. They're going to be doing 40 to 45% of your bar muscle up rep max. So people who have are on the lower side, they only get like 1 or 2 at a time. And someone else, maybe up to 6, 7, or 8 at a time. And by the way, that rest time is actually going to be less for the people who do more because it's going to take them longer to get through those reps. So it's another way to tailor to a specific person because the person who's at a higher level should have less rest because they're going to be able to recover faster from that work because it is less strength-based and those people can start to make dynamic contractions aerobic. So that's the goal for them. And then after that density piece, they're going to go into every 2 minutes times 3 sets, 1 set of strict bar muscle ups, but they're going to stop for 1 to 2 reps from failure. And that could be different for each person. Approximately 1 to 2 reps before, if I think I try and I'd miss it, I'm going to stop 1 to 2 reps before that. So that's what that means, from failure. Next, let's talk about customizing cyclical work for groups. So in terms of common errors, this is where I see probably the most errors. And the most common, to be truthful, is skipping over this section completely. And the reason for this, and I totally understand why, is because coaches are overwhelmed in a class setting. There's so many people and so much stuff going on that they're so worried about everyone who maybe shouldn't even be in a class setting where they're trying to learn weightlifting, they're trying to learn gymnastics, and those things are so skill-based and so much potential for injury is there that if they're not doing those right, it's a serious liability to themselves and the gym that they're at. Whereas it's a lot harder to injure yourself on a salt bike or a rower. So, you know, just jump on there, start going, you'll be fine. And then once you get back to this touch and go snatch piece, I'm going to really make sure that you're not hurting yourself. And okay, I get that. I totally get it. And I think that's in some cases the only way that you can do it. But at the same time, we have to build in ways that allow appropriate dosage and pace and strategy and technique for cyclical work. So the things that I hear that kind of drive me nuts sometimes are like, okay, jump on the bike or the rower and just go for 5 minutes. Or you'll see this program all the time at the end of athlete's work. It's like, okay, 15 minutes, easy ski after you finish your Metcon. Or 2K row test today, lay it all out there. You know what? That is not helpful at all. Imagine your coach being like, okay, heavy percentage work on snatches today. Better pull hard, everybody. Thanks, coach. Like I didn't know that already. Okay, what can we do and add value to our athletes so that we can actually help them? There was no cues, there was no strategy there, there was no technique, there was no pace. Those are all things that I want to add as a coach. So here's how I would do it. The first thing I would do is add coaches' notes. So what happens in person, coaches come up, they're like, hey, you're gonna sit tall in the row, you're gonna pull here, this is how you're gonna attack this piece, you're gonna do this, you're gonna do that. Okay, ready, 3, 2, 1, go. And then they have them go. Whereas with online, so many times I just see that coaches write what they're supposed to do, but they don't write how they're supposed to do it. So they don't provide the strategy or the cues that they need for that athlete to perform their best on that given day. And so that's something that I make sure I do. I don't just watch my athletes' videos. give them immediate feedback, but I also provide cues in the following weeks to get them to correct that mistake. Or if I see them like in some movement error, what can I do or what things can I have them manipulate their performance to be able to get the result I want out of it? So what I'll do is I'll provide cues. So if I'm writing a rower piece, sit tall, have nice long pulls, stay rigid in the catch, and I want you using a 1-to-1 breath ratio or a 2-to-1 breath ratio. I provide strategy. So I want you to get up to speed quickly, then you can settle down in your pace between 750 meters and 1500 meters in that 2K. That's the mentally hard part. You're going to have to push it, but then you have to wait to kick until 300 meters are left. Then you can lay it all out there. I provide technique. So explaining how to use bidirectional versus tridirectional power output for the air bike. That'd be a good example. I could provide pace. So I want you to start at your 5K time trial pace per 500 meters minus 6 to 8 seconds. And then you can deviate from there after you're halfway through the workout. So let's talk about paces for a second. In order to write paces, you need to have done a few basic tests. So for example, for an athlete, maybe they've done a 2K row or a 5K row, maybe they've done a max wattage test on an assault bike or a 10 minute max cal test on the assault bike. They've done a 5K run or a mile time trial run. Just a few basic energy systems tests so that you can actually start to program for them appropriately. And that's something I highly recommend because paces are a big part of this puzzle. So I'm going to go into three different examples. I'm going to start with rowing, I'm going to go into running, and then I'm going to end with the air bike. This is a way to automatically create silos or individualization within your program and programming for a wide range group. So to start with rowing, let's just say this was 2 minute row intervals at a 5K time trial pace plus 3 to 4 seconds. So in other words, if their pace for their 5K was a 2 minutes per 500 meter pace, they'd be row between a 203 and a 204 for that 2 minute interval. And I also provide things like I want you to stay between a 26 and 30 stroke rate on the rower. I want you to hold to a 1-to-1 breath to stroke ratio on the rower. I want you to return to nasal breathing during your rest intervals as quickly as possible after you're finished with that piece. Things like that. Next, let's say it's a 2 mile run piece. And let's say it's a 2 mile run buy-in for this workout. Okay, I want you to aim for your 5K time trial mile pace. So your pace per mile, say it was 8 minutes per mile. I want you to subtract 10 to 12 seconds from that. That would be a 748 to a 750 pace per mile. And that's what I want you to hold over that, those 2 miles. I want you to start at a 1-to-3 breath to step ratio. AKA, you're just going to breathe in for 3 steps and then you're going to breathe out for 3 steps. So inhale 3 steps, exhale 3 steps. And that's what I want you to hold to. And I don't want you to deviate from that until you get to the 3/4 mile mark. At that point, you can start to move away from that. If you need to, you can move to like a 2-3 or whatever. But you cannot deviate from that until you get to the 3/4 mile mark. Lastly, air bike, and I explained this in detail in episode 5, but remember, the stronger the athlete, the faster they can do damage. So you need to have a powerful athlete do less work. So the workout is every 2 minutes for 6 intervals, so 12 minutes. You're going to do a sprint for 12 seconds if your peak wattage is above 1500. You're going to sprint for 15 seconds if your peak wattage is between 1,000 and 1,500. You're going to sprint for 20 seconds if your peak wattage is between 600 and 1,000. And you're going to sprint for 25 seconds if your peak wattage is below 600. Or if they're doing a sustainable pace, something like this might work. In this piece, I want you to hold your wattage on your 10-minute test pace minus 20 to 30 watts. So your average wattage for the 10-minute test was 300. Okay, you're going to hold a 270 to a 280 watts in that range over the course of that piece. So lastly, let's talk about customizing mixed modal work for groups. I see common errors in this all the time, and I think this is easiest explained if I put what I would do versus what I commonly see side by side. Really, what's going to happen here is I'm going to take elements from the weightlifting, from the gymnastics, from the monostructural or cyclical pieces, how I'm going to silo those different groups. I'm just going to put it onto each one of those columns as it's appropriate for. So I'll explain it in a scenario and it'll make more sense. Say a workout is 3 rounds of 21 calorie row, 15 chest to bar pull-ups, and 9 deadlifts at 275 for males, 195 for females. That's a common workout that you might see in a class setting. What I would do instead to make it more appropriate for more people is I would take it 3 rounds, 21 calorie row, and I want you to hold your 5K time trial pace plus 6 to 10 seconds. I want you to do 30% of your rep max for chest to bars, and I want you to do 9 touch and go deadlifts at 60% of your 1 rep max. they're going to be appropriate for everyone in that class setting, rather than being like, okay, and these are all the scales and this is what I want you building back to. This is what I want you to do. So another example here that I think would be appropriate would be 5 rounds for time, 400 meter run at RPE 7. So in other words, 70%. And then you're going to do 12 unbroken handstand pushups. And if you're confident that you can do all of those unbroken each round, then you can add it being strict or deficit. And then you're going to do a max set of unbroken ring muscle ups. And this is something that is more so right for like a blog type setting where it's going to be more competitors, because more people are actually going to be able to do those unbroken handstand pushups. And then between those rounds, so again, it was 5 rounds for time. In between those rounds, I want you to rest 1-to-1 between rounds. So in other words, the time it took you to do that, you're going to rest that long before you start the next round again. So say it took you a minute and 45 seconds to get through that round, you're going to rest a minute and 45 seconds before you start the next round. So if someone's in really good shape, maybe they do a minute 30. If someone's hurting a little bit that day and they do 3 minutes, both of them are going to get to tailor that workout where the fit person gets only a minute 30 seconds rest, where the person who's not as fit might get 3 minutes. And lastly, what we see a lot in mixed modal ends up being interval work. And I think there's right ways and wrong ways to do intervals for people that you do not know well. So if you do not know the athlete well, or you're doing it for a big group of people, rather than doing it like on the minute work, like in EMOM, every 2 minutes, every 3 minutes, you don't know exactly what that rest is going to be. So if it takes one person 20 seconds to get through the work on the EMOM, they get 40 seconds of rest. Where if it takes them 40 seconds, they only get 20 seconds. They're going to like lose it right away. So rather than doing that, have them rest for a set amount of time. So instead of like an on the minute scenario, have them rest 45 seconds, or have them rest 60 seconds, have them rest 2 minutes, 3 minutes. And in that way, you can control exactly what their work rest ratio is. However, if you're in a class setting, sometimes that's hard. If you want everyone going at the same time, what you have to do then is to start to cap people at a certain time. So like, I do not want you working more than 25 seconds out of this minute. If you're working more than that, we have to scale back the reps. Or you can just say, I want you working for 25 seconds every minute on the minute. But either way, you have to determine what that work rest ratio is for people that you do not necessarily know their fitness level, or that you know that there's going to be a diverse fitness level in that group. The last thing I want to leave you with is, if Zor or if I published a blog style workout plan, what things would it include? So rather than just, you know, having all these errors that I see blog style programs have, what things would I do to kind of change that up and to make it ideal for every single person? Number one, I would have silos for each different type of athlete, and that would get really time consuming and detail oriented, but you have to have all these different silos because not everyone is the same. And the more you can do that, the more it's going to benefit different types of athletes. I would also include coaches' notes. So this would include cues. It would include how to attack certain pieces like mindset, like pace, based on their actual testing that they've done previously, like 5K times, things like that. I would also include instructional videos. So it doesn't just show the movement and demo it, but also explains the things that you should be thinking about, different variations that could be appropriate, all that kind of stuff. And then lastly, explanations for the intention of certain pieces. So not just what are you doing, but why are you doing it? So why don't all the blogs out there do this? Well, frankly, it's hard, it's time consuming, and it can be a bit confusing, and it takes a lot of thought. And that's the reason I think most people just choose not to do it, or they just don't know to do it. And they don't understand how it can be inappropriate for most people. So I'd really like to see a lot of blog style workouts really go this route of taking on different silos of people, rather than giving an entire population of people the same workout, rather than just having the fast adapters and people that can handle the stress rise to the top, and then everyone else kind of getting left by the wayside. I think that's a real travesty for the people that get left behind. Thanks for listening. I hope this episode gave you fresh ideas how to think about programming for groups. If you enjoy the show, do me a huge favor and give the fitness movement a positive review. And as a way to say thanks, I will send you the 12-week workout plan of your choice from my website. Simply email me at ben@zorfitness.com. That's ben@zorfitness.com, with Zor being spelled Z-O-A-R. Thanks in advance. Hey, it's Ben again. And one of my main responsibilities, besides producing content like the fitness movement, is being a coach. I work one-on-one with athletes to create an individualized plan to help them reach their goals. So let's say you hire me. The first thing I'll do is learn about you. We'll jump on a video call and chat. And this is something we do every training cycle. It becomes a very regular part of our schedule, which allows us to stay on the same page with things. I'll also take you through an in-depth assessment to really get a very accurate, detailed look at where you're at and what your specific limitations are. Then it's my job to create a plan to help you achieve your goals. In other words, taking you from where you're at to where you want to be. And here's the thing is that I will be 100% the person to program every workout for you. And when you send me film and tag me in your videos, I'll be the one providing adjustments for your technique and cues to help you correct your movement errors. So you pay me month by month and there's zero commitment. You have nothing to risk and all the gains to make. Sign up today by going to zorfitness.com/coaching or email me at ben@zorfitness.com.